sometime. So much trouble makes me cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's alright, 'cause I know
coming up right after this. Hope is alive. Jesus will fix it.
Another year, 2023. So God bless you. Today, I want to really bring your attention to a scripture in Genesis 3. And in this, starting at the first verse, and in this scripture, we find that our fellowship with God was disconnected and then reconnected. So as we look at this scripture, starting at the first verse, we see that old Satan, as a serpent, encountered Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he baited her by asking her this question, said, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? So that led her to let him know, as she replied, is of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So Satan, getting her where he exactly where he wants her, he said, you won't die. The serpent replied, replied to the woman. He said, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So apparently that was convincing enough to Eve. So she went ahead and ate the fruit off of that tree. And that tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So she ate the fruit, and she took some of the fruit and gave it to Adam. But if you'll note in this scripture, nothing happened. Nothing happened until she gave it to Adam, and Adam ate. And then that's when it says that their eyes were open, and they were aware of their nakedness and all of this stuff. That's when the sin was transacted, when Adam ate that fruit. So then they were walking in the garden, and God asked them, where were they? And you just about know the story, and they said that they were hiding from him because they were naked. And God asked them, how did they know they were naked? He asked them, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to eat from? And then we start getting the blame. Eve said, well, the serpent beguiled me or made me eat from that fruit. And, Adam said first, I'm sorry, that the woman you gave it gave me the fruit, and then Eve said the serpent caused her to eat. So then God said, okay, I got punishment for all of you. We know that for Eve doing what she did, she would encounter extreme pain in delivering children, in other words, her birth. Ladies, you can blame Eve for all that labor pain you had in having your children. And, of course, he cursed the ground for Adam so that he would have problems growing foods that he need to sustain life. And, of course, here's where the reconnection comes, because all of this stuff caused them, that I just said to you, caused them to be disconnected, out of fellowship with God. Now, here comes the reconnection. Satan's curse that God put on him. He said, you will crawl on your belly, graveling in the dust, as long as you live. and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Now, here's the verse right here. He said, I will strike your, he will strike your head, I'm sorry. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Okay, well, let's look at that. He will strike your head. Who is he? He's talking about Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And you will strike his heel. He's talking about when Jesus was taken and crucified on the cross. But the thing is, he got up out of that grave and declared all power in heaven and earth was in his hand. So he had conquered the grave. He had conquered death. Therefore, that symbolizes what he says when he said he will strike your head. A blow to the head is deadly, but to strike someone's heel, they will survive. They may be wounded, but they will survive. And Jesus was wounded. He went to the grave, but he got up out of the grave and declared all power in heaven and earth was in his hand. By doing that, he restored or reconnected us in fellowship with God. So you see that? All right. That is where this verse here actually shows where we were disconnected. And, of course, this verse shows that we were reconnected. Of course, Jesus was going to have to come down through 42 generations to do this. And he did. And we were reconnected. Because we had lost fellowship. So God bless you and God keep you. And just keep on studying and obeying God's word. God bless you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this second Sunday of the new year, because you saw fit to have us here. Lord, we just want to thank you, first of all. You brought us through 2022, and now here we are in 2023. And, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. You've been so good to us. You know, and as I was sitting here listening to the song, Jesus Will Fix It, he will fix anything that is troubling us if we just go to him. You know, and sometimes we do. We cry at night because we can't fix things that need to be fixed. That's why we need God in our lives. That's why we need to go to him and pray to him and ask for his help. And God, he is so merciful. He is so good to us. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. But I want to take the time to bless this radio station and Brother William Brown that we are still sending God's word out. We want everybody to tune in and listen to God's word. Sometimes we can't get to the churches that we want to get to, but if we sit at home or a hospital, wherever we are, and get on this radio station, God will come to us. He's a loving God. He's a caring God, and he's all that we need in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done for us in the past, the things that you're doing right now, and those things you will possibly do in the future. We just want to thank you. Lord, we love you. We love you. We praise you and we honor you. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory. Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
One day we shall and we will cry glory, hallelujah, because we will be in the New Jerusalem and the Holy City. Praise God. One more time, we are on Hope is Alive. We just give reverence to God our Father through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we give reverence to Brother Brown and Sister Beth Gill in her absence, and Dr. Owens, who is out traveling, and our New Hope family and our Hope is Alive family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, I will be talking about something that we all deal with, whether we talk about it on a daily or not, but I just need you to be my silent audience and invisible audience that I can't see, and just bear with me for about 10 to 11 minutes. Amen. We'll be coming from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you all know it well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways,
acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Today I want to talk from the title, I Have Trust Issues. I have trust issues. I have trust issues. If you've been a believer for any length of time now, you've heard this highly quoted verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. You know it. You know it. We know it backward and forwards. But there's a problem within the verse for some of us. And it's not that God will direct our paths and make them straight. No, that's not it. Our issue, yours and mine, is simply one of trust. We have a trust issue. We hear the preacher make it sound easy when he says, trust him and never doubt him. Or the deacon, or whether it be a beloved family member, friend, or stranger, when they tell us, trust God. We even have songs in the African-American diaspora encouraging the very thing. You know the song, I Will Trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. You get the gist. But there might be one listening who doesn't have the concrete confidence that other saints have and render the question, how, what, and why should I trust in the Lord of yours whom I'm unable to see? I admit that before we can fully thrust ourselves into the arms of an all-loving, powerful, and ever-wise God, that trust in itself has been and can be an obstacle for us. Due to the fact we've experienced our fair share of betrayal between mankind, have we not? We witnessed countless acts of infidelity and the mishandling of love among one another. I understand that somebody did to you, took your trust, and utterly skewed your perception of putting absolute faith in people, let alone in the God who saves man from his depravity. It's hard to trust when you've been sexually abused by family or strangers. It's difficult when your mother and father might have deserted you. It pains you to trust when you confided in someone and they used it against you as ammo. Somebody say, I got trust issues. The list goes on and on. I reckon if I use my imagination, God would greet us himself with an apology for all the mistrust we come up against that makes it strenuous to place complete confidence in him. We aren't the first to wrestle with confiding in God. It dates back to the beginning as we know it. There are a few people who had trust issues as well. Hence, Adam and Eve, when commanded to not eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge, acted out of trust and obedience and fell for trickery and deception, leading to expulsion from the garden and ultimately issuing in death. Somebody say, trust issues. Another instance of trust in God gone wrong is with Moses. In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, Moses is told to speak to the rock so he can bring forth water for the children of Israel. Instead, Moses strikes the rock twice with his rod, resulting in God prohibiting Moses from entering into the promised land. Somebody say, trust issues. You might know this by now, or you might not, but I found out in my walk with Jesus that every time we sin, that we are disobedient and know to do what is righteous, we are telling God in our own way that we don't trust the result of the matter if we do what he desires. Ooh-wee. Somebody say, trust issues. But I tell you, hope is alive. I tell you also of those who did trust in the Lord with all their heart. Yeah, you know them as the three Hebrew boys. Yeah. In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar had a golden image erected and made a decree that all fall in worship, and whoever denied would suffer death by fire. You know the story. The three Hebrew boys refused. They served no other god or worshiped golden images. They were threatened with the furnace, but never have we heard trusting God sound so sweet when they replied, if it is so, Our God, whom we serve, can deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But even if he doesn't, we still won't serve your gods. These brothers had a trust issue we should take any day. It couldn't be perverted, molested, or contested. Somebody say, trust issues. I want us to ask ourselves, how have we been trusting God with all our hearts lately? Examine yourselves and ponder on this. How do we take the verse from the page out of mere memorization and put it into practical application? Also, how can we extract Jesus from this? Well, I found out how we can continue to trust God simply by remembrance. Remembrance. Remember how he delivered the children of Israel, how he made a highway through H2O while hell was on their heels. Remember that God wouldn't tell us to do anything that we aren't capable of through the Holy Spirit. Numbers 23 and 19 declares that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? Also, 1 John 5 and 3 says this, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Trusting God shouldn't be a chore, but a delight. Psalms 118 declares it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. In other words, we might give caution to trusting in man, but we should throw caution to the wind regarding the one who created man. Somebody say, trust issues. When having these issues of trust that we come across, remember that God cares for you, though it may seem contrary, and the devil is roaring about making you feel as if your present predicament is not on God's radar. Take your feelings to 1 Peter 5, 7, where God reminds us to cast all our cares and anxieties on him, because yes, hope is alive, you guessed it, he cares for you. Throw it on him, and then entrust yourself to his care. When having trust issues, remember that God has good in store for us. Yeah. Romans 8:38 sound familiar? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Somebody say, trust issues. Finally, we can trust God with all our hearts, with all our minds, being, and strength, because the Master Jesus set the tone for trust issues. Well, DeCorey, what you talking about, brother? Well, do you remember how Jesus was in the garden before the crucifixion? He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus was saying what we have numerous times, and I'm paraphrasing, God, make it go away. Let this issue pass me by. Fix it to where I don't have to trust this hard. I don't want to suffer this way. But I tell you, hope is alive. When there is no empty cup, there can be no pouring of trust. I'll say it again. When there is no empty cup, there can be no outpouring of trust. Do you remember? The Savior was suspended between heaven and Hades. He had to ask God, why have you forsaken me? The very thing we say at times when we feel like the trust we display isn't being confirmed the way we would rather have. But Jesus had to have a real trust issue. If his Father could send him to a dying world in which he would die for himself, he was spat on, ridiculed, mocked, beaten, and flogged. He would have to have a trust issue if his own family would deem him crazy. If the religious leaders said he possessed a demon, he would need a trust issue if his disciples would scatter and deny him. He would need a secure bold trust that if he goes to the grave, on the third day, according to scripture, my Father will raise me again. That's the kind of trust issue I desire. When asked why we live as we do, as Christians, believers, disciples, or whatever title you choose, tell them I got a trust issue. Because there's no way God is so good that I can't trust him. His track record is pure, flawless, and unmatched. Why do you love your enemy and those that despitefully use you? Because I trust God with it. Why are you worshiping through the pain instead of complaining? Because I trust God with it. Why do you forgive and forget? Because I trust God with it. Why do you trust him so? Like the old saint said, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Why trust him? Because my understanding is not strong enough. Our ways can't be seen clearly with these dimming eyes of ours. My path is not my own to charter for my sake as I would like. We trust him, for we fear him, and we stand in awe of his holiness. We trust him because it brings healing to our body and a refreshing to our bones. I say again, hope is alive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Somebody say, I got a trust issue. To God, our Father, is all the glory and honor through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for his word. The Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Somebody may have just heard the word. But you say, but I don't have no knowledge and understanding of what he just said. See, he's telling you to trust in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will illuminate your mind. You may have never even called on him before. But if you just call on the name of the Lord, he will hear. And the wisdom that comes from above, he will give you that knowledge and understand that call on his name. And he will save you. And those trust issues that you got, God, only God can handle them. Maybe you say, but that's why I've been away so long. Call on him. The Holy Ghost will illuminate your mind. And it will convict your heart. And it will bring you to the Lord Jesus. Because it will give you that wisdom and knowledge and understanding to call on his name. And you will be saved. For the Bible says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's that word and understanding that coming from God through the illuminations of the Holy Spirit. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word God will give you understanding through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. For with our heart, one believe in righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's that gift that you're looking for. It come by faith. And that faith comes through trusting and believing in God. That faith, the size of a mustard seed. If you just keep on believing in him, trusting in him, and just call on his name, it's in the word of God through the illuminations of the Holy Ghost. And God will save you. I believe and I know. Been there, done that. And I know God is able. He can do anything, for with him nothing is impossible. So if you listen for the first time today and you have not had the word of God preached to you and you not have heard the word of God, I want you to trust. Just call on the name, Jesus, and he will hear you. And we'll call in today. We are New Hope Missionary Baptist Church at 1575 West 17th Street. San Bernardino, California, 92411. And you can contact us by phone, 909-887-2526.
You can call us. You can get through to us through the computer. You can get with us at www.newhopemissionarybaptistchurch.org. You can email us at info@newhopemissionarybaptistchurch.org. Don't just trust him. Give him a chance. And I promise you, you will never go wrong, because God is waiting right now for your call. He's waiting to hear from you. It's a new year, brand new year. And I guarantee you, he'll give you a brand new start. May God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Jesus, you have complete control. I will be satisfied with you.
Oh God, come on, y'all say.
Where you lead, I'll go.
Come on, give it to him.
I will trust your word.
Come on, tell him. You have complete control.
You have complete control.
Present my body to you, a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Silver and gold, none of that matters where you need. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways, help me to acknowledge you, oh God. Yeah. All of my steps, Jesus. Nothing else matters, oh God, I will be. Lord, if I can have you, nothing else matters. Some trust in horses.
Satisfied with you.
Some trust in chariots.
Satisfied with you.
But I choose to trust in Jehovah Jireh.
Satisfied
in Jehovah Rapha. Jesus.
Lord, if it wasn't for you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Hope Is Alive. The song is Satisfied Flow, live, Todd Delaney, Tamela Mann, and Smokey Norville. You know, after hearing that powerful message by Brother DeCora Newsom, I had to pull that song. Amen, amen, amen. What a word. I want to thank also Reverend Floyd Martin, Reverend Arnetta Carpenter, Reverend Walter Williams for the invitation and the live message from Minister DeCora Newsom. Good afternoon, my good friend. What a great, great, great message. Thank you so much. I know many were blessed by that.
Thank you, sir. And to God be all the glory.
Amen. Oh, man. Yes, you know, that song I played was, it's called Satisfied Flow. Okay. Trust in the Lord. Todd Delaney, Tamela Mann, Smokey Norville. You know, the blessing behind that is that until I played it, while you were in your sermon, I just pulled that song, right? That's the first time I heard that version. Amen, amen, amen. That's the power, man.
That was right on cue.
That's the power, brother. So, anyway, I thoroughly enjoy each and every time you're on with me. And I want to say good afternoon to our listening audience around the globe. And I want to thank Sister Beth Gill. You know, she's always working even behind the scenes, okay? And she'll be on with us next week. So, but anyway, Minister, thank you so much. I'm going to have a few questions to ask you. And
all right.
Then I'm going to ask that you close us out in prayer, okay?
Yes, sir.
First thing I want to know, what brought you into the ministry of preaching?
What brought me into the ministry of preaching? Well, first off, thank you. Thank you for the question. I think I would have to say that I was heavily influenced by being drugged around without an option by my grandfather, the late, great Reverend Burnell Newsom from Hazelhurst, Mississippi. I think even when I didn't understand, God was preparing me, or he was just blessing me in that aspect that I was adopted by my grandparents and that I didn't get to choose my path of life, where I would be, or the times and the place, and being around him and just seeing him, how he moved, how he lived, and how he interacted with the word and with the people, I think was a heavy influence. But secondly, I pull from Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And I think that with me being going through the things that I have, as we all go through, it was something in me that just wanted to be able to minister to God's people. We could do that anyway as believers in any realm. But I think it was just my life experiences and the heavy influence from my grandfather.
I think you just answered the second part of that question. That was how did you make that decision? Was it a difficult one for you? Did you wrestle with it? How did you make that decision to go into ministry? Because it's a heavy task.
Yes and yes. It was a hard decision. And this is just me. I didn't hear a call or see some visible sign. It didn't get real trippy or weird for me, but it got strange enough. It was more internal, as if the Holy Ghost wouldn't leave me alone about it. I didn't think I was smart or learned enough, and I didn't want to make a mistake with what I was feeling, because pastors, preachers, and teachers, they'll be judged more harshly according to Scripture, as we all know. But I didn't want to make a mistake with what was going on inside of me. So I wrestled with the call. And eventually I told my pastor, the Honorable Pastor Campbell of Park Avenue in Riverside, California, what was going on with me. And he didn't make it as easy as I thought it was going to be. He told me to take at least 2 weeks and sit on it some more, and if my answer was still the same, we would proceed from there. Mm-hmm. And I believe I might have fasted somewhere in there, and definitely praying and just wrestling with it. And as you can see, my answer didn't change.
Couldn't sleep at night, could you? Couldn't sleep.
I don't even remember. I just know it was hard.
What's your favorite? Speaking of ministries, what's your favorite area of ministry?
That's
your
a good favorite question.
Yeah. And why is that? Okay.
And why my favorite area of ministry, besides studying and learning the mechanics of preaching in itself and finding out new things pertaining to scriptures, is actually getting in the sheep pen with the people and smelling and looking like them, like a under shepherd should, and knowing their needs, struggles, and the like. Is there where I can share my life, my struggles, my setbacks, and my experience and my encouragement, and along with praying for them and getting scripture and getting counsel. I love just listening to people, because sometimes they don't want you to talk. They just want you to listen. But however, I do have to do some talking. But I love engaging and interacting with people, because no matter who you are, even the toughest of saints desire to be known and understood. So I would have to say it's the ministry of, you know, just counseling. I'm not a licensed counselor or therapist, but sometimes you don't need the title just to sit down with somebody and hear what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And be able to listen and tell them what thus saith the Lord, and not so much my opinion.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk about some of your future goals as far as how would you like to, and do you have any plans on expanding beyond where you are right now?
Future goals. That's a tough one, honestly, Brother Brown. Since James said in the book of James, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city and carry on business and make money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? I'm a mist. It appears for a little while. But with that, I honestly tread lightly on the future, but I do have a desire to be effective in the Christian music scene. To some extent, I do Christian hip hop on the side as a hobby. And I also love to sing. I was part of a quartet at one point. So I do see myself there, if the Lord says the same, being effective and instrumental somewhere and just in music and ministering to people, with the gospel through that avenue. That's what I desire to see, if the Lord says the same.
Amen. Amen. You know what I'd like for you to do, go to, Sister Arnetta, and get my phone number. I'd like to hear more about your Christian hip-hop. I'd love to hear more about that. I mean, we'll talk off-air, okay? I would love to hear it.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do.
Yes. Now, well, is there anything that I may have forgotten to ask you and you want our global audience to know?
Yes, you did. You didn't ask how much do I appreciate Dr. Owens and the people of New Hope, and hope is alive.
Hey, man. Tell us about it. Well, let's talk about it.
Oh, no. First of all, Dr. Owen has been a blessing in my life. As soon as me and my family got there, he loved on us, especially me. I've gotten to know him in a more deeper and personal manner. I love that man with all I can love him with. I could go on. But the people of New Hope, Reverend Arnetta, Reverend Floyd, Reverend Williams, Sister Beth, the musicians, the choir, people who befriended my wife and have come into our lives on a daily and with the consistency that I can't take for granted. Man, I love the people of New Hope, because we came there in the middle, about the ending of the pandemic, and they just threw themselves on us, and we are trying our best to throw ourselves back on them with the love of the Lord. So I love the people, the staff, the security, everybody. And, I just appreciate them being on 1575 West 17th Street.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I thoroughly enjoy your preaching, and just keep on doing what you're doing, brother. Keep on doing what you're doing. And if you will, please, I think the only right thing to do is that you pray for us and close us out in prayer.
Yes, sir. Father God, we thank you. We love you, and we ask that you continue to keep us and help us to trust you. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And the church said, amen.
Amen. Amen. And to our global audience, please listen to Hope is Alive each and every Sunday. It comes on at 3 p.m. Right here on the East Coast. That's noon on the West Coast. But prior to that, we always have some great gospel music, right? Great gospel music with the Gospel Explosion. We start at 10 a.m. here on the East, a little early on the West, and but most of you are getting up for church anyway, so it's a good time and a good way to get your day going. And to Reverend Floyd Martin, to Reverend Arnetta Carpenter, to Reverend Walter Williams, and to you, my brother, Minister Decora Newsom, I'm going to close it out with this song, Dietrich Hatton, Well Done.
I just want to make it to heaven. Just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross the river.
My Lord,
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, I just want my name written. Oh Lord. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when this life is over, woo! I just wanna have eternal life, Lord. Oh, I wanna hear you say, I wanna hear you say,
come on in. mighty ruler, the king of all the earth. We bow before your throne. Awesome wonder, yeah, in mighty ruler, king of all the earth. We bow before your throne. And we bow down and worship Yahweh. Oh, 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 yeah. We bow down and worship Yahweh. Let's worship.
We bow down.
We bow down
and
down.
Worship.
And we worship.
Yahweh.
Oh, we bow.
We bow down.
And we worship
Yahweh.
the master of the world. Oh, Jesus, you're the lily of the valley.
Yes, you are.
Sweet Jesus, you're the bride of morning star. The master of the world.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The master of all.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord
Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I call you.
I call you.
I call you Jesus,
call you Jesus,
the master of the
master of all.
Oh, 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 oh. I
call you
Jesus, the master of the world.
Hey, Malemo Sina.